So I think we'll just get started, shall we? Let's do that thing. I'll just mute everybody. It's just for the smooth running of the session. It's going to be lots of opportunity to unmute though and share your thoughts and ideas. For those of you that haven't met me before, I'm Amy from HeadTorch, and we also have Nick, my colleague, who's working away in the background. Nick Lander, sorry, not Nick Payne yet. He's working away in the background, helping us out with all the technical stuff. And of course, we have our superstar, Nick Payne, who is here to present to us this morning. For those of you who don't know HeadTorch, we do all things to promote and support mental health and well-being in the workplace. And we work with every level within an organisation, senior management, managers and frontline people as well. And we're really delighted to be offering this session today. This is really the first of our first Thursday wellbeing hours, as opposed to what was happening exactly the same all the way through May. But the May events were so successful, we thought let's keep it up, but let's do it once a month. So we'll be carrying these on the first Thursday of every month for the foreseeable. So do join us for those. So I'm delighted today to be introducing Nick Payne to you. Just share the screen. There we are. Nick Payne is the on-trade sales director at Budweiser Budvar, and he's going to be talking to us shortly all about self-awareness and some everyday tips to support our mental health at work. We've known Nick for some time now, a few years, I would say. We met you, first of all, when you were working at BrewDog, and before that, you were at Marston's and Diageo, I believe. Nick, I would just going to invite you to introduce yourself. I believe you've brought an object with which to introduce yourself. I'll just stop the screen share so we can see you fully. Oh, and also just to say, everybody, I think Nick's already put it in the chat, but we are recording this session. So just for your information. Nick.
Good. Thank you. I'm not on mute as well, which is a good start. So thank you. Thank you, Amy, for having me along. And thanks to you all. Hopefully there's no language barrier with my Welsh lilt. So maybe we should have subtitles up, but we'll get through. Any questions, anything you miss, please you raise your hand in the icons at the top. So as Amy said, I'm currently on-trade sales director at Budweiser Budvar. I've been in the alcohol drinks industry for over 22 years. I've been a people manager for about 12 years. Never thought I'd get into people management, but it's sort of with roles, and especially within FMCG businesses, as you develop and your accounts develop, then teams come in, and it's something that I've thoroughly enjoyed and embraced, and it becomes more and more challenging, but more interesting as as that journey's continued. And my object is a mirror, so it's not about being vain. Okay, this is, if you can see that. So my object is a mirror, and the reason I bought a mirror is around feedback and self-awareness. And it's something as a people manager, and just as a person, I'm also a husband, 22 years this year. I'm the father of four children, owner of a dog. I coach a rugby side, a youth rugby side that I've taken from under nines. They're now bigger than me and up at sort of under 17s, under 18s. I played rugby up until I was about 38. I've been involved in lots of sports and challenges. I've got involved in triathlons, skydiving, mixed martial arts, boxing, CrossFit. So I like to always challenge myself. And the reason I wanted to talk about self-awareness and feedback to help that development of self-awareness is I read a quote a few weeks ago, and it was really poignant and it stuck with me. And it said, there is no self-development without self-awareness. And you can read as many books as you like, but if you're unable to read yourself, you'll never learn a thing. And I just thought that's fantastic. And the reason it's fantastic is I'm going to take you back 21 years, and I was at the start of my journey with Diageo. So I worked in banking, started working for Guinness, phenomenal business, hugely focused on development. And I started working a team, and I had a line manager there. And I went in for my first one-to-one, never had a one-to-one before in my life. And I thought, right, this is all going to be about my results. So I went in really prepared, had all the numbers that I've achieved, all the stuff that I had done, you know, talked around what I had done. And before we got into it, he just started, he said, look, Nick, tell me about you. Just talk about you. And I clammed up and sort of really struggled to sort of open up. And we, anyway, this conversation went on for some time. And he said, look, I really want you to develop, but I think you are not going to develop until you're aware of yourself and your impact on others. And I like direct feedback. So we had this conversation. I said, no, come on, just give it to me straight. And he said, right, okay. He said, you're in your 20s. He said, you're 6 foot. You play rugby. You're full of energy. He said, you walk into the room and you command that room straight away. And he said, and what happens is you take over that room. And he said, it's all about, this is what's happening. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to go after that sort of that sales target. Or I've got lots of ideas. He said, which is great because you raise the energy and you bring people along on that journey and you encourage people to get involved. He said, but you're so overpowering. He said, there could be someone who's slightly introverted, who's got a much better idea, sat in the corner, who won't speak up. And I sat there and I thought, wow. And my wife has always told me I'm loud, and my family have always told me I'm loud, and everyone still continues to tell me I'm loud. And I sat there and I really took it, and then he sort of got a bit apologetic, maybe that was too much. And it was a real light bulb moment for me, where straight away I was aware of my impact on others. And I tell that story a lot because when I have one-to-ones with my team and we talk around development and feedback, I always try and lighten the mood by telling them this story. And I also say that feedback around self-awareness is still on my development plan to this day. And some people might say, well, why have you not addressed it? And that's the point. I constantly address it. And the way I address it is constant feedback. And it's so important for me to develop myself, but also my team. And I think what I try and sort of encourage within team is a simple philosophy, which is if you treat people well, they will work inevitably hard for you. But to treat people well, you've really got to understand the person. And I'll tell you another story, which is, again, I work in FMCG. It's an alcohol-based industry. It's high pressure. It's high demanding. It can be high churn. But actually, I've worked with some of the most amazing, creative, brilliant people professionally. But I've also got friends and made friends with their families and stay close to them. And that's more important to me because I've got to understand the individuals. And that's where it comes back to sort of that feedback and self-awareness of when we have one-to-ones and when I'm trying to find out about a person, I really want to find out about that person and who sat in front of me. And the story I'm going to talk to you about is it can be quite cutthroat in sales. And for any people who are on this call who work in sales will know that it's high demanding in drinks. It's unsociable hours. You're out. You could go out every evening. You're drinking, you're partying, but you've got to show up the next morning. It is demanding. It's massively competitive, as most sales organizations are. And it can be demanding that individual where you don't want to be that person who can't show up and is not performing. And there's lots of leaderboards and you don't want to be at the bottom. And what I've seen in cultures within business is when people are at the bottom, it's an easy decision for that business to forget the person and look at the numbers and move that person out, and they manage them out. And what I have found over conversations and Amy said about it last week is that we're not professional. I'm not a professional in terms of well-being, but I deal with people. And that's what's really important. And from playing rugby and dealing with people who I've got to encourage them on a Saturday afternoon on that rugby pitch to go out and put their bodies on the line, so to speak, some of them just need a hug or a cutch, as we say in Wales. Others, they need, you know, a size 11 at their backside and they need me to grab hold of them and scream in their face. So everyone's different and we take feedback differently. And what I've started to understand is actually when I've dug a bit deeper, so when I've had these one-to-ones, like my boss did with me 21 years ago, and started talking and understand if performance is low, and what the mitigating factors are around that, I've usually found that it's led to other personal reasons. Well, every time it has. And it would be really easy to put that aside and just say, okay, Amy, you're not performing. You're now on a performance plan. And I'm not listening to what she's saying. And again, there's three questions I ask myself. And that is, so when I'm conversing, what did they say? What did they mean? And what did I hear? Because in sales and in a lot of personal conversations, you might be having a conversation with someone, you're already thinking about what your answer is. This is my objective. This is the road I want to lead them down. And that was definitely my sort of approach. And it's how I approach things. And it's why I'm so grateful to that boss. And I'll call his name out because he's had a massive impact on me, which was Nick Padgett. Said to me all those years ago, take a step back, listen, you've got two of these and one of these, and it's, you know, it's a cliche, but it works. And that's what I've started to do, and it's even more important now within being a line manager. It's just to sit there, and when I'm having those conversations, if they're every 6 weeks, quarterly, daily, the business stuff we're always talking around, but I want to take time and say, how are you, Amy? And I will listen to your response. And I might have to dig a bit deeper to understand what you mean. And the reason I bring that up is, how many times have we said to someone, hey, Amy, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. And you're already into your next question. You're already, oh, guess what I'm doing later? Guess what I'm doing on the weekend? So you didn't listen to what they said. You didn't listen. You didn't hear their answer. And I think it's the most important tip I've heard. So sometimes just reinforcing that question. Yeah. You sure you're okay, Amy? You know, you seem a bit distant. And just give that feedback. And that's what I found is when I've had these conversations with some of my team, and it might be, you know, hey, Angus, you know, I've noticed I've asked for this report several times now. This is really unlike you. Is everything okay? Yeah, everything's fine. Are you sure? Because I really want to support you. Because if someone isn't performing, the first thing I look at is me, not them. Have I supported them? Have I had a one-to-one? Have I taken time out to really ask how they are? Am I taking an invested interest in their development and getting the best out of them? And 100% of the time, where I have seen performance or issues with one of my team, and I mean this not just in work, but on the rugby pitch as well, at the gym, you know, with friends, when I've gone that little bit deeper and asked again, yeah, this is unlike you, this is out of character, I've usually found there is a mitigating circumstance why. And I think, again, if you listen to the podcast last week and Katrina talked around people and the importance of people, and I think sometimes within work, we forget that we're dealing with people. And, you know, and I heard a quote the other day is, you know, put the human back into human resources, because that's what we're dealing with. We're really dealing with people. And then the third part of that, so I've talked around sort of the importance of self-awareness and the feedback. But the other part of feedback as well is about you and understanding your impact on others. And again, that comes with self-awareness. But Lynn, who was on the podcast last week, who worked in a care home, talked around tact. And she was busy looking after everyone else, but there was an impact on her and she wasn't looking after herself. And I'd really encourage you to, if you haven't, listen to that podcast from last week. It was really interesting. But again, I had an accident about 2 years ago. I fell, hurt my leg. I'm high energy. I need to be up and moving. And I thought, well, I'll just get on with this. And, you know, I was in a brace and I couldn't move. Couldn't move off the settee for a number of weeks. But I thought, I'm dealing with this. I'm fine. I'm absolutely, you know, I'm up for it. I'm still doing work. I'm catching up on some box sets. I'm doing other exercises. I'm helping around the house. And I had to go and meet a consultant about 2 months later. My wife came with me and I went to walk in and I said, oh, you know, I'll see you later. And he said, no, I want your wife to come in as well. So come in, and he asked her, how's Nick been? And she said, he's been terrible. He's really short-tempered. His OCD's gone up another level because he's around the house all day. And again, that self-aware, that impact of that feedback just made me thought, there's me. I'm asking for all these people in work for feedback and constant self-awareness, and I haven't looked close to home. So again, you know, a real important tip is, you know, speak to your loved ones, you know, where you might be thinking you're okay and you're coping and, you know, you've got deadlines to work to and you're traveling and, you know, we're coming out of a real difficult 18 months where we're sort of getting back to a normal level of working and we might not be prepared for that. So it's going to have an impact. So I suppose that's sort of really what I wanted to talk about today was sort of the importance of self-awareness. So knowing your impact on others when you're under stress, when you're on fire and you're really happy, but that again can have a negative impact. The importance of getting that regular feedback. So A, you're checking in on others and making sure that you're really listening to what people are saying. So again, remember those three questions. What did they say? What did they mean? And what did you hear? And really ask yourself, if you've had a conversation with someone, you know, could I relay that back now? Do I really know how they're feeling? And thirdly, really take time to look at yourself as well as part of that self-awareness and maybe get feedback from others close to you. And when I ask for feedback from the team, or I encourage them to get feedback, don't just go and speak to, I'll go and ask Bob because I work with Bob all the time and he's my mate and he'll tell me what I want to hear. Actually, go and speak to Maria in accounts that you very rarely speak to unless something goes wrong and then you fire that email off and just ask her for some feedback. And there's three sort of prompts I use for feedback. Stop, start, continue. So what should I stop doing? What should I start doing? What should I continue doing? And then that really helps people focus without sort of feeling they're going to offend you. But again, just get that broad range. And something I've started to do is look closer to home and get that feedback because, you know, we work, we're full on, we're professionals. But then when the laptop shuts, you're home, and then you're the father and the husband and you go to the gym. And like I said, it's really important in terms of your own self-development is to really gather that feedback and then sort of show the value of that to your team and the people around you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Nick. I really like the, if someone's not performing, the first thing I look at is me. That's really powerful, actually, a really powerful message. Thank you for sharing that. So Nick has a question back. You have two questions for us, Nick, don't you?
Yes, I do. You're going to put them up.
Can you see
me? Yeah, what I'd like you to go away now in groups and think about. So what does self-awareness mean to you? You know, is it something that you've even looked at? Is it something you're aware of your impact on others? I'm sure we've all got our opinion on me now and other people you've met. So really keen to understand what that means to you and any tips for me. And then what you're going to do differently in the future. So hopefully you've picked up on one or two things here today that will help. But I'm here to learn as well and develop. So I'm really keen to hear some feedback that hopefully I can take away and, you know, we can share further down the line.
Great. Thank you so much, Nick. So do take a photograph of these questions or jot them down. Nick Lander from HeadTorch, he's going to put us into breakout groups now and we'll have probably just under 15 minutes or so for a conversation in those breakout spaces on these two questions or anything else that's come to mind from Nick's presentation there. And then we'll all come back together and you can share your thoughts and ask questions. Do remember to, if you have your camera, do remember to put that on and unmute yourself in the breakout spaces to get the most of that discussion. Great. Well, I don't know about you, but we had a very interesting conversation. And it'd be lovely if we could hear some thoughts, if anybody would like to share, some points that came up in your discussion, or ask Nick a specific question, please feel free. Now is the time. You can either just unmute or put your hand up in the emoji thingy at the top. There we go. Rodney, excellent. Do you want to just unmute yourself, Rodney? If you'd like to say sort of who you are, where you work, and then give us your thoughts or your questions, that'd be lovely.
Thank you. So thank you, Amy. I'm Rodney Eyre, Mitsubishi Electric, based over in Livingston, manufacturing site making air source heat pumps. We're about 1,550 people on the site here. Amy, I'm just going to say, why is it you always pull us back out of the meeting rooms just as everything gets interesting?
It's a cunning plan. I don't know.
A cunning plan, yeah. I was just going to say something very similar to a point that Nick made. I was very lucky very early on in my career to work with a coach for a year, personal coach one-to-one. And one of the things they did for me, I mentioned in the group, was they asked me to find someone in the organization that I trusted and ask them to join every important meeting and sit in the background. And then at the end of the meeting, ask the questions like, did you get what you wanted out of the meeting? And if your answer is no, then they go through with your critical evaluation of what you did, from your character, from your competence, from how you perceived the skills that they had, and your credibility. And it's quite an eye-opener if you can find somebody you trust to join you in that meeting and just tell you at the end of it. Because most of the time that we join meetings, Nick mentioned earlier on, you can run in already with the answer and you just want to pour it out to somebody, and that doesn't help most meetings, you know, once you've learned that. But it's a very difficult thing to do because there's pressure as well that gets added to that. You know, the pressure to perform, the pressure to achieve, the pressure to get going, the pressure to not sit in the meeting for 8.5 hours. So that was a very interesting thing to do. So if anybody's thinking of doing that, it can be a really, really, really powerful self-awareness tool.
That's brilliant. Thanks for sharing that, Rodney. Nick, do you want to comment, say something? You're muted.
Yes, I love that. I'm going to steal that 100%. I think that's really good. I think it's that's the whole idea of feedback is around that self-development and self-awareness. And I think, you know, you're really putting the spotlight on yourself there and challenging. And, you know, my mother always used to say, everyone goes out with positive intent, and you have to see that, you know, no one wakes up and says, right, how can I ruin Nick Payne's day? I hope they don't. But and I think if you take that positive mentality and thought process and think, well, actually, I might get some critical feedback, but that's only going to improve me and my impact, then that's only a good thing. So I love that. I really like that.
Yeah. Like I was just going to say, with your rugby, you just need to watch what you're doing because you might get a much harder tackle on the Saturday depending on what the feedback looks like.
Yeah. I've given feedback after a game and felt it on a Tuesday in training when I'm holding a pad.
And Rodney, can I ask, what are the sort of top lessons you learned from the feedback during those times?
I suppose it's quite a similar story to what Nick said. The first thing the coach looked at me after the conversation and said, do you think and talk at that speed all the time? And I said, yes. She says, nobody has a chance of following you. So that was probably one of the biggest, boldest. And also the fact that you start talking over someone because you want to get your point through. And that's a terrible thing to do. And it's difficult. So, yeah, there was probably 100 things she told me, and I still practice 40 of them, and I can't remember 60 of them, you know, so, but it was good.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's a great message to receive back, isn't it? And I think a lot of it's to do with how it's delivered back, isn't it, as well, Nick, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think if you set your stall out early and have those honest conversations around what you're looking for and why you're doing it, you've got the best chance of getting the right feedback.
Yeah,
Amy, I have to be careful because one of my colleagues is also on the call and I'm looking over to see if he's shaking his head or not.
Good job. Great. Would somebody else like to share some thoughts then or a question? Karen, yes, do unmute yourself. Oh, you are unmuted. Great. Do share. If you tell us where you're from, Karen, first of all.
I'm used to this way of working by now. I'm Karen Armitage. I'm Head of Health and Safety for NHS Trust in Yorkshire. I just want to say that Lynn was quite thought-provoking in our group because she said something that she does is she asks herself, what does she look like on a good day? And what does she look like on a bad day? And I think that's really useful. And also to consider, you know, what if two forces meet, really? And what if you're having a bad day and the person that you're interacting with is having a bad day? And what that's going to look like, you know, what the outcome's going to look like. So I thought that was a really useful bit of self-analysis, really. So I took that away from Lynn. So thanks, Lynn. I'm going to think about that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, I like that. We had a similar conversation and Carrie might jump in here, but Carrie Ann in our group was saying the same, that she's probably more critical of herself and that self-awareness. So I sort of say, well, how does that come across to others? Because I know if I'm having a good day, I'm probably, my self-awareness has to go up because I'm more energized, I'm more animated, whereas if I'm having a bad day, I go more reserved. In fact, my wife's like, she likes it when I'm having the odd bad day because I'm quiet. Whereas if I'm really excitable and, you know, and things are going well, that's when I've really got to rein myself in. So I think it's that balance. We automatically think feedback's going to be bad and that self-awareness piece is me on a bad day, but you have to look at it maybe you have your biggest impact when you're on a good day. So it's, have you got anything to add to that, Carrie Ann? Because we had a good chat around that.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just you're more kind of critical of yourself when you are kind of having a bad day, and what can start off as something really small can grow arms and legs quite quickly. And it's at that point that you then look to see, was it me that's doing it? Is it someone else? Like, how have we ended up in this situation? Or how did we get to where we are? And it's that I find really quite difficult, because you can be so much more self-critical and maybe overly aware, or you create things that maybe aren't possibly there if you are having a kind of a bad or hard day.
Thanks, Carrie Ann. We talked a bit about the importance of normalising these conversations around feedback. How important do you think that is, Nick?
Huge. So what we tend to do, me and Fiona were talking about this again in our breakout group, that I was surprised there was four of us in our group that how little feedback we go and encourage people to give us. It's usually once a year, maybe you've got your annual review. And there's nothing more frustrating than finding out 11 months ago you said something that had an impact, you know, so it's in the moment feedback. And also a lot of companies now talk around sort of physical rewards. Oh, I got a red letter day, I'm one employee of the month. But actually, again, Fiona might touch on this, is what's really important is just sometimes a passing comment that actually, you know, your input or your question on that call today was really good, or I really like that piece of work, and just getting that in the moment feedback. And again, positive, but also, you know, if it's around development, so if it is around actually the way you pitch that question in that call and was really direct and was really challenging, I think you put Amy on the back foot then, you know. Oh right, okay. I think it's in the moment feedback is really important. Because it gives context around it.
Yeah, definitely. Really important, isn't it? And I think that, you know, the positive feedback, interesting, isn't it? My head all automatically went to, oh, the more constructive feedback. But actually, I think as a nation, we're not brilliant at giving genuine positive feedback on a regular basis. And it's so important because we love it. You know, we thrive, don't we? Most of us anyway, tend to thrive when we're given that sort of pat on the back,
yeah.
Appreciation. Yeah. Lynn, you've got your hand up there.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. Thank you, Nick. So my name is Lynn Hebdige. I work for Pony and Shear Western Isles Council. And so just really one of the questions that kind of came into my head was around, so part of my work is around supporting, it's employee wellbeing officers, so it's about supporting line managers, predominantly around supporting their staff. And so my question is about, there are line managers who I find easy to work with and there are line managers who are more challenging to work with. And generally the line managers that are easier to work with are already self-aware and reflect in their practice. So I was really going to ask you the question, how do you encourage the start of that self-awareness journey for line managers who are actually very often either naive to the fact that it's actually there, or actually just very much against going into that part of the journey with them, a bit of fear? So how do you kind of encourage that? Thanks.
Yeah, I think A is sort of take the lead. So start engaging with them to give you feedback, because and sort of give examples of the value, and you know, in both positive and developmental feedback. And sit and sorry, my dog's going mad. And sit and take the time to really understand why. I've got a colleague who actually said to me, I asked him for feedback. So he said, all right, I'll give you that, but I don't want any. Don't give any to me. And I was like, why not? And he said, oh, I take it really personal. So straight away, that was feedback. I was getting feedback, right. So what I tended to do with him was, we went for a walk away from the office. So let's get offsite. Let's go and grab a coffee. And again, just started questioning and understanding lots of open questions, and just try to find out about him. And basically what had happened is he'd had a real difficult boss, 15 years, who just hammered him all the time. So he just shut the doors down. Right, I don't want to know the feedback. And what we found is actually when I started sort of giving him positive feedback, he opened up more. And then I was able to, where things weren't working, sort of have those development conversations. But what I found was it was just taking him out of that office environment, because it's easy to put the shutters up or down, so to speak. So again, just putting the personalization into it.
Thank you.
Yeah, really powerful. And it's also, I think that's great to acknowledge, Nick, you know, how powerful past experiences can be on us and impact on us. So what was relevant then might not be relevant now, but we're still triggered because of what happened then. And you only know that, don't you, if you take that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, to have the conversations.
Yeah.
Great. Paul, you have a question or a comment?
It's just a comment. Paul Douglas, Vice President of Volvo Trucks. You can see in the background, the big yellow one, and the Managing Director of Terex, which is a Volvo brand. We had a very interesting discussion, Pat and Vicky, were in my breakout group. And a couple of interesting things came out from your questions, Nick. The first one on, you know, what does self-awareness mean to us? We all agreed that, you know, it's a difficult concept to grasp for a lot of people. Because people are not comfortable sometimes when you held up the mirror. And that is sometimes difficult for people. For me personally, as a leader of a business with, you know, several hundred people looking to you, then I have to be very aware of the tone I'm setting and the message I'm giving. And one of the examples I shared with our group is that at the start of this pandemic, there wasn't a roadmap. None of us knew what to do. But 370 people in my business looked to me to give them guidance and answers and everything else. So you have to be careful. And then we also reflected that the dynamic today, where we're all doing this in FaceTime and videos and everything else, is very different. And is that making us think differently about ourselves? Is it making us ask ourselves again, you know, what do I need to do differently? Then I'll not dwell on, maybe Vicky and Pat can add something, but on the second question, what we do differently in the future, Pat had a great point, which is it's great to get feedback, and Nick, you put it really well with the what should you stop doing, start doing. But if we ask that question of your team, you may engender more discussion, more feedback. When if you work in a team, if you ask everyone to have an input, and through that you may also get some feedback about yourself as well as the team, and it may start to encourage people to be more engaged and more doing. And then the last thing we talked about was, and for me personally, I don't know how many of you have worked with HeadTorch, but we've certainly done quite a bit of training and coaching, and active listening is one of the best things that HeadTorch have been helping us with. And I'm still on that journey of learning to be better at that. But the example you gave, Nick, was a very good one. You ask someone how they're doing, and I'm immediately thinking, what's happening in the project? When am I getting the numbers? What's the report coming? So I'm very guilty of that. So I've been trying at my hardest to be a better active listener. However, this current dynamic is making it hard. It's hard when you're just staring at someone down a video line. And sometimes a lot of people are not comfortable with that approach. So that's just some takeaways from our breakout.
Thank you very much, Paul. That's fantastic. And Paul will be our speaker next month, folks. Nick, do you want to respond in some way?
Yeah, I agree. And we discussed, Carrie Anne raised a great point that through the pandemic, there's less face-to-face time and more on email. And we've all received those emails where, you know, there's no tone, there's no emotion, there's no body language. And, you know, it's sparked a response within our brain, at, you know, and sometimes a negative response. And we've got right. And, you know, and you've gone to respond and maybe you've waited an hour or wait till the next day. And then you've had time to reflect and you've gone, right, actually, I'm not going to respond. I'm going to pick the phone up and have that conversation. So it's a really, really good response. And I like Paul's point, and again, just that sort of the active listening. You know, everyone I speak to, no matter what they're doing, even my kids, we're busier than we've ever been before. So it is just your automatic reaction to, right, okay, I've got a 10-minute call now, so right, I'll start. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, right, bang, straight into the agenda. And, you know, and it was a good point that was raised earlier about that, the critical evaluation, where at the end of that meeting, if someone said, did you achieve your objective of that 10-minute call or hour meeting? And you might say, no, actually, because you just, you know, you steered it a different path. And maybe it's because the person on the end of that call or people on the end of that call are, you know, are feeling vulnerable or are not in a great place, or have got something else on their mind. So, and you've just absolutely washed over it. So, just really great points, and I think it just reinforces, you know, more of the active listening.
Definitely. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks so much, Nick, for fantastic and stimulating presentation. Hang on a minute. This is weird. That's it. I couldn't see anybody for a minute. So yeah, really stimulating presentation. Thanks so much. Yeah, listening is super, super important, isn't it? It's about noticing the whole person, isn't it? So thank you so much. Some great key points there certainly for me to take away and to think about and yeah, really start putting some of this stuff into practice. And start normalising it within organisations. As I said, Paul Douglas, who we just heard from there, he's going to be our speaker next month. So first Thursday is actually the 1st of July this year. And we're changing the time, folks. So it's going to be a 12 to 1 slot from July onwards, 12 to 1. You'll receive more stuff through on your email, I'm sure, about this. So delighted to have Paul speaking with us next month. As he said, he is VP of Volvo Richard Holliers and MD of Terex Trucks. He's based out in Motherwell there. So anyway, he's going to be talking with us next time about striking the balance, so supporting the well-being of people on site as well as remote teams. How do you strike that balance? How do you handle people's fears, concerns, worries, and so on. So really looking forward to that next month. do stay in contact with us, follow us on LinkedIn. As I said, we're HeadTorch. We do all things to promote and support wellbeing at work, working with senior teams, managers and frontline people. And we work with a huge range of organisations, large, small, public, private, doesn't matter. It's all people. We've all got mental health. So it's important that we all support. We can all support one another in that. So enjoy the rest of your Thursday and may the sun come out again very, very soon if it hasn't already in your part of the world. Thank you very much, everyone. And thanks very much again, Nick.
Thanks very much. Lovely to meet you.
Thanks very much.